Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Greece is on everyone's mind this morning, and you and your colleagues at the Fed had ample opportunity to discuss it over the years. How do you see it impacting the United States, if at all, and impacting U.S. monetary policymaking?
Well, I think it's certainly hard to say. There's a lot of uncertainty that still remains about how this will play out. I think, though, many people have become somewhat more sanguine, if you will, that at least the sort of financial contagion and spreading is likely to be a lot less prevalent right now, that a lot of the Greek debt is now held by the sovereigns and less of it exposed to the private sector. So I think there's a lot of a lot more comfort, if you will, that whatever happens can be contained. And remember, Greece is still a pretty small country. And if that contagion or that risk of financial implosion is greatly reduced, then the spillover effects to the United States and our recovery is likely to be small.
Can you see any scenario where Greece would push the FOMC to put off a rate action?
One of the things I've learned in my time at the Fed was never say never. So I'm sure one could imagine a scenario where something would happen that would cause them to change their mind, but it would have to be something pretty dramatic. But that could happen. But I don't think the probability of that happening, I think, is much less now than it was, say, the last time we went through this in 2012 or earlier.
Now, the IMF has been very firm in telling the Fed not to start raising rates until 2016 at least. How is their advice generally received at the Fed?
Well, the IMF, over the years, the IMF has always thought about it, always wanted to be the world's central bank. So it's always telling central banks what to do. I'm not sure central bankers pay a whole lot of attention to them. I mean, obviously, they have analysis, and the things that they point out are not new ideas in some sense to the Fed or to how monetary policymakers think about it. So, you know, it's just out there like a lot of other people giving the Fed advice.
Well, how do you assess the U.S. economy, particularly in the context of monetary policy?
Well, I think the U.S. economy is kind of on what I would describe as a steady state path. I think it's improving. It's getting stronger. Not as quickly as we all had wished that would happen, but it's still strengthening. The good thing I think that many people see about the U.S. economy is the fundamentals are good. The consumer is strong. The labor markets are improving. The consumer's balance sheets are much improved now than they were several years ago. So I think there's just a lot of fundamentals that are good for the economy. And of course, shocks will come along. Things will happen, and everything won't be smooth every month or every quarter. But I think there's a lot of reason to be positive about continued modest and sort of steady growth in the U.S. economy.
Now that you're outside, I can ask you this. Given that assessment, do you think the Fed will raise rates this year? And if so, when?
Well, I actually think they will raise. I think there's a lot of desire to raise rates and get the economy and get monetary policy off of zero. And opportunities to do that need to be seized, if you will. My own view, as you know, I would have done it sooner. But that's what I think we ought to do. And I think there's some good reasons to want to do it sooner rather than later, because the later you wait, you run the risk of having to play catch up at some point. And I think if the FOMC would desires to sort of be on this gradual path, and there's a lot of discussion about what would that really mean. But, you know, starting sooner and being patient might be easier than delaying, and then having to play catch up. So I think there's some real desire to want to get this process underway. But remember, it's not just liftoff that's important. It's the path that follows. And I think people and markets in particular put a little too much emphasis on the liftoff decision when really we ought to be talking about what the path looks like.
Well, you've been known as a hawk. Would you have a steeper path or a shallower path?
Well, I think my own view is, as you know, I've been an advocate of systematic policy, and I think it's important that monetary policy making look at rules and look at guidelines for monetary policy. And in that respect, we're a bit already behind the curve. Many of the monetary policy rules and versions, whether it be Taylor rules or other things, call for liftoff last year. And some now. But the point is there's variation in those things, but they're telling us now's the time. And and that the path or the pace after that is going to be governed by how the economy evolves. And that's what we need to convey.
Well, what's the proper interest rate for an economy running at today's numbers?
Well, I think it's probably closer to 1%, maybe 1.25%. Some of the rules say we should be at 50 or 75. Some of them say we should be at maybe 1.25 or 2 in extreme cases. But none of them are suggesting we should still be at zero.
Well, will there be any impact on the economy from the Fed raising rates if they do, as suggested, a 25 basis point range move?
I think it's going to be minimal. I think the markets and the public and the Fed has talked about this. So the expectation that there's going to be a liftoff with the slow rate is kind of built into the marketplace right now. So the fact that it happens in September or happens in December, I don't think either one of those will have much impact. If you remember, when we actually stopped buying assets to start the tapering of our asset purchase program, interest rates went down. They didn't go up like everybody thought they were going to be. So I think that the impact is going to be very, very small.
Is there a danger that the Fed raises rates and the economy slows down and they have to cut again?
Well, sure. I mean, that's what monetary policy does. It moves rates up, when bad things happen, it moves rates down. So if something bad were to happen and they'd have to move them down, I don't see anything wrong with that per se. And because that's what policy should be doing. It should be calibrating interest rates to how the path of the economy is evolving.
Well, what's plan B for the Fed? Is there a plan B if markets react badly to what they do?
Well, I don't know. Obviously, I haven't been there in a couple of meetings. But I would say that the Fed should have a plan B. It should kind of know how it wants to respond to various kinds of events. But remember, we're in uncharted territory, and we've never had to raise interest rates off of zero before. We've never had to do so in an environment where we've had a $4.5 trillion balance sheet, so I think there's just lots of uncertainty. So I think the natural tendency of the FOMC is going to be fretting, hand wringing, and central bankers do that all the time. So they'll try to be careful and calibrate their responses depending on how the market reacts.
Some of your colleagues say the most important reason to raise rates is that they cannot respond if the economy goes into a downturn again because you're at the zero bound.
Well, I think that's true, although there are other people who would say, but look, we did it, and if the economy went down, they'd return to sort of a quantitative easing and asset purchase program, much as the Europeans have done. We could debate whether that's going to be effective or not. But some people would also say that, well, we know how to deal with a zero bound now. I think that's a debatable issue. But so I think that I'm not too worried about that. I think what we want to do is we want to return, or what I would like to see us do, is return financial markets to making financial decisions that are less dependent on interventions by the central bank and less dependent on what the central bank does. Interest rates and market interest rates, for whether it be mortgages, whether it be sovereign debt, are set in the marketplace. And so much of the world has now depended so much on the interventions of central banks to sort of guide them. I think that's not a healthy place for it to be.
Would higher rates slow or spur capital investment in the economy? How high do rates have to be to do that?
I don't think any of us know the answer to that. I think there's so many other factors. There's talk about corporate tax reform. There's issues about tax changes and about labor markets. I don't think we know for sure, but I think raising interest rates and making an effort to move back towards sort of normal functioning would be a positive and healthy step for the economy.
You were kidding the other day about being a senior citizen on a fixed income now, and that's not good when you have zero interest rates.
No, it's not.
how big a problem is that, and how aware is the Fed of that?
Oh, I think the Fed's very aware of it. But, you know, it's like any policy. Almost all, no policy is sort of completely neutral. There are always going to be some people who benefit more from a policy than others. And in the typical environment, when interest rates are normally higher and you're moving them up and down by small amounts, the sort of trade-off is not doesn't have a huge impact. Or you wouldn't think it would be distributionally very important. The difference between being in interest rates at 4.5% or 4% is not as big as being at 4% and zero. And so as a consequence, I think that the zero lower bound and the zero interest rates for nearly 7 years, 6.5 or 7 years now, is really having telling effects on many parts of the economy, and effects that we won't know their consequences maybe for several years to come yet.
Fed's communication strategy, how do you assess that? Did you make a lot of mistakes? People seem in the markets often confused about what the central bank is doing.
Well, I think there were times when the central bank was confused about what it was doing. We were in uncharted territory. I think communication obviously became very important when we reached the lower bound. It took on a much more important aspect of what was being done. But I think communication is very hard. And I think it's particularly very hard when you're trying to make commitments or signaling commitments in the future, but you really want to be a discretionary policymaker who can react and do things in real time. And so I think our communications efforts had, I would describe as mixed success or mixed failure, if one way or another. And I think that as we go back in history, if we get further away from this period and look back on that, I think that's what we'll conclude. I would prefer the Fed did less forward guidance and more talking about what their policy strategies are and how they're going to react to data, rather than making sort of pre-commitments of things that they're really not prepared to commit to.
What's the biggest issue out there?
Issue for
policymakers, for the economy, what do you see as the next big thing we're going to worry about?
Well, I actually think in a longer term sense, I really think it's about the institutions. I think there are a lot of things that have happened during this period of financial crisis and deep recession, a lot of policy responses to them, whether they be in the form of monetary policy or regulatory policy or other types of policies that have been attempted to sort of ease the pain of what many people experience, and I can understand that. I think the really question is, what are the consequences of those choices that we made during, the policy choices we made during this period? What are the longer run consequences of them? Are they going to reduce productivity? Are they going to reduce growth? Are they going to solve the too big to fail problem? Will we have another? Or are we embodying too much discretion in our regulators to solve financial stability problems and setting expectations up that can't be fulfilled? I think those are all interesting and important questions, and will shape how we look at this period 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Charlie Plaster, thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 119.